I want to show you what happens when you sleep, the important times to sleep and why. There's a little tiny gland in the base of the brain, and it's called the pineal gland. And it's right in the base of your brain. The pineal gland releases 4 hormones every night, but only in certain hours. In the winter time, it's between 10 p.m. and 3 a.m. It has much to do with the moons and the tides. Light and dark signals are fed through the optic nerve to a control center in the brain where your body clock is located. And your body clock communicates with the pineal gland. And these are the hormones that are released. One is melatonin. A lot of people have heard of melatonin. Some people that don't sleep very well take melatonin. Well, we naturally release melatonin in that time, and it's called the fixin rejuvenite nighttime hormone. So it is this hormone that probably is mostly responsible for the fixin rejuvenation that's happening in our brain and our body while we sleep. Another hormone is serotonin. That's the mood hormone. So if you want to feel good, go to bed early. What are the kids like if they have a late night? Not very happy. Either are the adults. Another hormone that's released in these hours from the pineal gland is arginine vasitocin. Arginine vasitocin is our natural painkiller. Did you know you have a natural painkiller? When you go to bed in these hours, your natural painkiller is released. But your natural painkiller, when it's used, it leaves a waste. And if that waste hasn't been released, then the next night, arginine vasitocin won't be released. How do we get rid of the waste from using our arginine vasitocin? That's exercise. When you exercise in the day, as you perspire, you are letting go of the waste. And that's why exercise is so important to be able to increase your ability to sleep. Ecclesiastes says, "The sleep of a laboring man is sweet." In other words, when you physically move through the day, you get physical exhaustion at night and you can sleep better. So arginine vasitocin is your natural painkiller. And arginine vasitocin puts you into a deep sleep. So the earlier you go to bed, the more likely you are to fall into a deep sleep. The other hormone that's released is epithalamin. And epithalamin is a hormone that increases learning capacity. God designed our brain to be learning new things right up until the day we die. Many people's brains deteriorate because they stop learning new things. We should ever learn new things. To be able to understand and retain the new things that you're learning, we need to go to bed early. Epithalamin increases learning capacity, and epithalamin slows down aging. So these are the hormones that are released in these hours every night. But more comes into the equation. And I was reading a book called Why We Sleep by Dr. Matthew Walker. And there's some fascinating research that he quotes in there. And this research was first started probably in about the 1950s. And they were doing research on rats. Because, do you know, they research on rats a lot because their digestive tract and many things are very similar to humans. And they live 2 years, so they can see what would happen to a human in, say, 80 years, what happened to a rat in 2 years. And they found that there were periods of the night where the eyelids are closed, but the eyes are active and moving, and then there are periods of the night where the eyes were still. So they put electrodes on the brain and on the eyes, and what they found is when the eyes were active, the brain was active. But when the eyes were still, the brain was a little bit more still. So what they did was they called the eye moving fast, rapid eye movement time, and the eyes moving slowly, non-rapid eye movement time. So let me show you what happens in those times. So in non-rapid eye movement time, they found that in the brain, there's a courier service happening. Now, all through the day, everything that happens to us is stored in our hippocampus back here. It's called the short-term storage unit. While we sleep, there's a courier service that takes all of those memories from the day up to the cortex up the top. So that's a courier service happening in non-rapid eye movement time. The other thing that's happening in non-rapid eye movement time is the cleaning system, the glymphatic system. So cleanings happen. What they found is that the brain cells seem to shrink up a bit, allowing more fluid between them, and so this cleaning system is happening. So what's cleaned up? Waste from neuronal activity, waste from the combustion of glucose and oxygen in the energy cycles in the cell, but also negative emotions. And that happens after we make the decision to forgive. So when we forgive, that seems to trigger this glymphatic system to start cleaning up the waste. So these are the two things that happen in non-rapid eye movement time. In rapid eye movement time, this is where dreaming happens. No wonder the eyes are moving fast. Also in rapid eye movement time is a filing system. Now what Dr. Matthew Walker was amazed at in the research that he was doing, and he's an atheist, and this is what he said. He said, it's almost as if sleep has an intelligence. So what's happening with the filing system? Remember, the courier has brought all the day's memories up to the cortex. And what appears to happen is the dreaming that happens. Have you noticed things from long ago? Things you're thinking about through the day? All sorts of things come up. And it appears that that happens so that the brain knows how to file. He says, the filing is done in order. So negative things that happen, there's a negative section. Wonderful things that happen, that goes into the wonderful section. And that caused Dr. Matthew Walker to say, it's as if sleep has an intelligence. So filing happens in rapid eye movement time. This is where our inventions happen. Something else happens in rapid eye movement time, and that is a consolidation of the things that you learnt through the day. You could say a consolidation or confirmation of the things you learnt through the day. Dr. Matthew Walker found that these happened in 90-minute intervals. So let's do my favourite, 9 to 5. So the first 90 minutes is 9 p.m. to 10:30. So from 9 p.m. to 10:30, non-rapid eye movement takes up 80% and rapid eye movement takes up 20%. So it's in the first part of the night that most of the cleaning happens. So now we've got 10:30 to 12, midnight. 10:30 to midnight, we've got 60% rapid eye movement time and 40% rapid eye movement time. So from 12 to 1:30, it's about 50-50. But as the night goes on, we have a change. So from 1:30 to 3 a.m., we've got 40% non-rapid eye movement and 60% rapid eye movement. So from 3 to 5, the last 2 hours, we've got 20% non-rapid eye movement time and 80% rapid eye movement time. So this is what's happening in the night. Have you found that if you wake at 3 or 4 and then doze back to sleep, when you wake up again, you remember all your dreams? Because most of your dreaming is happening in the second part of the night. And the cleaning system, most of that's happening in the earlier part of the night. So what happens if someone goes to bed at midnight? Someone goes to bed at midnight, not only have they cut down by almost half their melatonin, serotonin, agonine, vasopressin and epithalamin, but they've also lost some of their cleaning. And what can also happen is they can wake up in the morning and they've still got memory from the day before in their short-term memory unit because there wasn't enough time to get it into the rapid eye movement time. Dr. Matthew Walker and his associates, they did a lot of research with this, and they got 20 students. And 20 students all learned the same things. And 10 of the students had 6 hours sleep a night, and 10 of the students had 8 hours sleep a night. And they found after 3 months, the ones on 8 hours sleep a night retained almost double what the 6 hours sleep a night. And so the study tips that he gave for the university are very interesting. Number one, he said, sleep with your windows open. He said, have some sunshine every day. And I discovered that sunshine was the key to recovering from jet lag. If I sat in the sun and I put my head up to the sun with my eyes closed and let the sun's rays go through my eyelids, and then I put my head down after about 30 seconds and open my eyes and just sit outside, then I sleep the next day. Light and dark signals are fed through the optic nerve to a control center in the brain where your body clock is located. And the body clock communicates with the pineal gland. So sunshine in the day helps us to sleep better at night because it resets that body clock. It's called your circadian rhythm. You've heard of the circadian rhythm? It is reset by sun's rays going through the eyes. Now, I never suggest we look at the sun. Our eyes will tell us not to do that. But those sun's rays help to reset the circadian rhythm. Dr. Neil Nedley, he found that up to 80% of his depressed people, their circadian rhythm was out. He also found that a lot of his depressed people were going to bed very late. And they were watching movies or playing games or on computer till late. So a couple of things were happening there. Number one, they were missing out on the rest and rejuvenation that God planned us to get every night. But they were missing out on the early morning sun. He says that first hour of light in the day, it resets your circadian rhythm for better study habits. Temperance. He was very strong on the dangers of caffeine and refined sugar. And how many students are sipping coffee late at night till midnight trying to get their study in? But what Matthew Walker found, they retain almost half as much as the people that stop the stimulants and go to bed early. That's a big difference, huge difference. And of course, 8 hours sleep a night. 8 hours, not negotiable.